In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. So we've got another Memorial Day weekend. We can tell that by the number of people in the pews. I hope everybody's enjoying it and have a safe weekend. It's a weekend where, in one sense, we celebrate the freedoms that we have in this country. Unique in the world in many ways. But we also honor and give thanks for those people who made the ultimate sacrifice, the men and women down through the centuries that have been willing to lay their life on the line so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. And for this, we're thankful. We've had world wars to end all wars, yet we're still looking at a world where wars exist. Daily in the news, we hear about the death and the destruction in the Ukraine. And all we can do in many ways is to pray for the people of Ukraine. But we also pray for the people in Russia because they're suffering as well. And then on top of that, this week we had another horrible event where 19 children and two teachers were senselessly killed in a random act of violence. It seems to be a recurring event. And we have to keep those children, their teachers, their families, friends, and neighbors in our prayers this week and pray that it doesn't happen again. We often ask, will this ever end? It's probably been asked many, many times down through the centuries. Will this ever end? Can hope and pray that it will, but to be honest, I'm not optimistic. I do believe, however, and I am optimistic, that in many ways each of us can make a difference. We may never end wars, we may never end all of the violence, but we can make a difference. In the gospel reading today, Jesus prayed, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. He's praying for unity. He's praying for something that will bind each and every one of us together in such a way that we can make a difference, that we can bring the love of God to all people. But that unity seems to be fleeting. If I look back over the centuries and look in the rearview mirror and ask myself, how have we responded to this? Well, in the beginning, maybe not the beginning, but Paul and the other disciples went out and they established small communities throughout the Mediterranean and in countries afar. And they eventually became churches. And so we have churches that are supposed to be a vehicle for that to happen. Yet even if you read the letters of Paul, what you find is that many of his letters, while they gave encouragement, they were also admonishing the people in each of those communities that they're infighting and they're arguing and who's in control and who's not in control. All those human things. So there wasn't this clear sense of unity, even within the small churches and between the churches. We saw when we had the Council of Nicaea, there was infighting from everywhere to try to establish what the New Testament was going to look like. So those disagreements have stayed within the church. And then if you just look around you and ask, how many denominations do we have? Just in Valdosta, different denominations. If you look around the world, there's thousands of them. And they're there because we have disagreements. We don't have unity. And I can still remember as a child growing up the conflict in Northern Ireland between Roman Catholics and Protestants. Hopefully that's over. So even in our lifetime, we see there's this lack of unity within the Christian church, despite the prayer that Jesus had for his disciples then and for us today. So if you look at how we're responding to Jesus' prayer, and we look at it in the rearview mirror, we can say, well, we could have done better. But what about today? What about today? We live in a culture here in the U.S. and in the Western world, and I suspect other parts around the globe, where we've been presented through our culture of a choice. You have a choice on the left and a choice on the right. We're offered two choices. You're either orthodox or you're progressive. You're conservative or liberal. You're Republican or Democrat. You're on the left or the right, the east or the west, the north or the south. It's a binary decision that our culture seems to be forcing us into. And in that sort of situation, there is no unity. There's always that divide between the people on one end and the people on the other end. And as a result, we have a tendency to judge people and to put labels on them based on the public's perception of what a person looks like on one end of the spectrum or the other end of the spectrum. And oftentimes we do it on very little information and with virtually no dialogue. The color of somebody's skin, their nationality, their language, their accent. I grew up in Louisiana. There's a different accent in North Louisiana than there is in South Louisiana. It's like a different country. But we have this image of what a Cajun looks like versus a redneck, right? We make assumptions about religion and different denominations and political affiliation. But we put labels on people with very little information and certainly with no dialogue. And so all of these cultures tend to highlight a sense of disunity. It doesn't bring us together. It actually divides us. Take a look at how many denominations there are in the Christian faith. Most of them were formed because they had a disagreement with somebody in their church. And so they started a new church. And they said, well, my denomination is better than your denomination. We've got it right, you've got it wrong. And so now we've got thousands of denominations of just Christianity, not to mention other religions in the world. So you have to back up and say, what is this unity that Jesus was talking about? What is it that he really was praying for all of us? Now, first, I think we need to acknowledge that he was not praying that we would all agree on everything. Just look at the Bible. There's very little agreement in the Bible. There's wars. There's people being killed and murdered. Peter and Paul didn't agree on everything. And that's how we ended up with all of these different denominations. Second, Jesus knew us all too well. He knew that each one of us in this room is a unique individual. God created us uniquely. We have a unique set of gifts. We have this ability to see the world differently. We view the world through different lenses, through different experiences. We may have had the same parents, but we grew up in the same household, but we are still different. We are unique. This is not a bad thing. Causes us to all have different opinions, and sometimes those opinions don't necessarily agree with each other. But nevertheless, we need to celebrate that, because you see, God created us that way. If he wanted us all to think and sound just alike, he would have made it that way. But he created us with all these unique gifts, and that's a beautiful thing and something that we can celebrate. You see, the real world, contrary to what our culture tries to tell us, the real world is not a binary world. We have choices that go well beyond one end of the spectrum versus the other end. There are choices all in between that. The world is not that simple as a binary decision. In many ways, it's very complicated, yet beautiful. Jesus gives us another clue about the unity that he's praying for. Right at the end of the prayer, he says, Father, I have made your name known to them, meaning his disciples, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. He's talking about love that's shared between God and Jesus, the disciples, and with us. Our presiding bishop loves to say, if it's not about love, then it's not about God. And I love that saying. And he says it all the time, and I'm very appreciative of that. If it's not about love, then it's not about God. The question is, can we learn to look at our disagreements in a context of love for each other, of love for God? Jesus said you should love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And he went on to say, love others as I have loved you, including the people that you don't like. So Jesus was all about love. He put love first. How can we do that? Well, in doing it, we can create a whole new context for the disagreements that we face around our own community and our church to help prevent conflicts. I'm convinced that if we approach conflict in a context of love, there will be a different outcome. You see, without love, there's no forgiveness, there's no grace, there's no redemption, there's no repentance. Love is absolutely needed. God's love is needed for all of those things to happen. It can allow us to disagree with each other and yet love and respect the person that we disagree with. And as a community of faith, this church, you and me, we're called to create, build, maintain, and invite others into a community that is based on God's love. They can walk in those doors and they can experience God's love in this place and anytime they meet us out in the world. I'm reminded of a campfire song that we sing, and we've sung it here before. They'll know we are Christians by our love. And all of you have sung that and probably know almost every word. But they'll know that we are Christians by our love. And it's the love that stands out. If you look at our prayer book, and it's such a great resource to all of us, if you haven't taken it out and looked at it recently, you should. But there's a section that's just called Prayers and Thanksgivings. And in those prayers, there's a prayer for unity. So I'd like to close with that prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, give us grace. Take away all hatred and prejudice and whatever else may hinder us from godly union and concord. That as there is but one body and one Spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Creator of us all. So we may all be of one heart and of one soul, united in one holy bond of love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In his holy name.